You can call him Ray, or you can call him Ray G, or you can call him RG, or RG Jr., or RGJ. It's Taking the Lead with Ray Gustafson on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Now 7:14 on Taking the Lead. Welcome to your Thursday, the 22nd of August, 2019. And man, the week is going by quickly and the month is going by really quickly, Doug Cunningham. And I'll tell you what, technology is really moving very quickly because we want to talk a little bit about the future of automotive IT. Give us a breakdown, Doug. What is the, in your opinion, what's the future of automotive IT?
Well, we are headed, it's a full spectrum offering, first of all. Technology is advancing rapidly on every front in the auto industry, and we have autonomous cars in our future. We have electric vehicles. We have various efforts underway to try to create cars that have advanced safety features, you know, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a conference in Ann Arbor coming up soon all of that.
Have you ever driven one of those autonomous vehicles or an electric vehicle or one of these high-tech vehicles? I know you and I drive older vehicles.
Yeah. No, I have not yet. But I'm all for it in terms of the environmental friendliness, the effort to combat climate change, to get clean transportation in your automobiles. One thing I'm not so crazy about as a driving enthusiast and a car enthusiast is this autonomous driving thing, because I enjoy actually driving and piloting the vehicle myself.
You know, it's funny. I was in Florida visiting my cousin last year, and he has one of these autonomous hybrid vehicles. I think it was like a Honda CRV or something that was supposed to, basically you could push the button and let it drive itself. And he was so excited. We got in his new, it was brand new vehicle, had like 500 miles on it. And he's like, watch this. And we started to take a little curve onto the road. And he's like, watch this. And he pushed the button and he let go of the steering wheel and nothing happened. The vehicle went straight. And he's like, well, I don't understand why it's not working. It was kind of, it works, you know? So I don't know how it detects the fog line maybe or something. I'm not quite sure.
Well, the thing that I worry about is, and maybe it's not a comparison that's really accurate,
right.
But you look at your own IT experience with computers, with phones, with, you know that there are going to be bugs. There are going to be times when it's down. There are going to be times when it hangs and doesn't work properly. So I worry about all that. So I spoke with Bruce Belzowski of the Automotive Futures at the University of Michigan Ann Arbor campus. Coming up September 11th there will be a Future of Automotive IT conference. It's called Gathering, Analyzing, and Using Data Inside the Company and the Vehicle. Opens up a plethora of questions about privacy, about how auto companies are using this data, and how it's going to impact the auto industry, which, of course, is still, to this day, very important in Michigan. So here's my talk with Bruce Belzowski about this upcoming conference on automotive IT at the University of Michigan Ann Arbor.
A good place to start would just be telling people what this is all about. These conferences coming up in September, the Future of Automotive IT, Gathering, Analyzing, and Using Data Inside the Company and the Vehicle. How will it be used? How will it be gathered? What will the analysis be for? And will that invade our privacy? And will there be insights into that aspect of it in these conferences?
There will probably not be very much going on in terms of privacy issues. Most of the stuff that is being gathered in vehicles is anonymous. It usually is used just primarily for safety issues within the vehicle itself. Now, there will be transmitting of some data between the vehicle and probably the companies related to maintenance and failures within the vehicle, because in the short term, there actually will be software updates that will be transmitted over the air so that you won't have to take your vehicle into service to a service station or dealer. They'll be able to upgrade your software over the air. So this is some of the technologies that are coming in terms of IT. But there are issues with security. This cybersecurity is a big issue within the auto industry, and they've been doing a lot of work on this and will continue to do this, because the idea of someone taking over your car or upsetting the way your car works could be very dangerous as well as invading your privacy.
I was just thinking along that line that the last thing that we're going to want is autonomous vehicles being hacked and weaponized, or you know, or other adverse impacts about this technology. In cybersecurity, they're dependent, aren't they, in the auto industry pretty much on a separate industry, the IT folks, or for true cybersecurity, or are they collaborating with tech groups outside of the automotive industry for that purpose, for cybersecurity, to your knowledge?
I know that each of the companies are doing their own thing, as well as linking out with cybersecurity experts outside their industry. Because it's so such an important issue, in the past they've been able to keep everything pretty much inside the vehicle. But once you start doing over-the-air updates and having people plug in their phones and things into the vehicle itself, there's opportunities for things to go wrong. And the manufacturers and suppliers as well are really working hard to make sure that they can control that as best they can. As we know from our own experience outside of vehicles, that cybersecurity is a big issue everywhere, and it's in vehicles as well.
In terms of this autonomous future, I know when I last spoke to you months ago, we were talking about the electric vehicles and autonomous driving, that sort of thing, and how we're probably about 10 years out at least from it really taking hold in a huge way, with all the challenges, you know, that are wrapped up in all of that. These conferences happening, though, in September in Ann Arbor are not going to be focused so much on autonomous driving, are they?
Well, we will. One of our speakers is from M-City, which is the University of Michigan test track, where they're testing autonomous vehicles as well as semi-autonomous vehicles, but primarily autonomous vehicles. They see a real trend of, over time, you have more and more safety technologies that help the driver, but eventually it then allows the driver to sit back and not drive at all. So it will be an evolution of technologies. And they're doing that at the U of M, so we will be talking about that.
And who's involved in terms of some of the companies? Is this going to be an industry event or academics or a mixture of the two or tech people? Who's involved in both putting it on and attending this conference?
Now, my group, the Automotive Futures Group, has been putting on our conferences for over 11 years now. This is our 11th annual Future of Automotive IT Conference. And we'll be having people from industry as well as from academia telling the stories about what they see happening in terms of the current and future trends for IT within vehicles, but also within organizations, and how those things have changed and will continue to change.
Now, in terms of China's auto industry, is there anything in these series of conferences to talk about that? And to explore that,
our next conference in November will focus on what we call Inside China, where we try to get the Chinese to tell their story about what's going on in their country in terms of their auto industry. So hopefully that will be we should have some interesting insights about what's going on in China. We've been following that also. This will be our 12th annual. Actually, our Inside China was the first conference that we ever did 12 years ago.
And finally, I'd just like to ask for your thoughts, just sort of general thoughts or overview about all these changes sweeping the auto industry. What's immediately next that the auto consumer is going to feel, do you think, as this technological evolution continues to unfold rapidly?
It looks like it's going to be advanced safety devices. And what you're seeing is warning systems that are telling you as you move into a lane where there's a vehicle. There are lights that go on to tell you there's a vehicle in your blind spot. There's also, if you're following too closely, sometimes you'll get warning systems about when your vehicle is dangerously close to another vehicle. But the next step after that is actually, and some vehicles do this now, where if they see that you're starting to move out of a lane without having your turn signal on, they'll start moving you back to where you were. Just take the steering wheel away from you a bit and start moving you back into the lane. And if they see that you're not there's a car in front of you that stopped very suddenly and you haven't put the brakes on, it will put the brakes on for you. Some of the vehicles that have this technology already, the customers and the federal government is who tracks the accidents is saying that there's been a significant reduction in accidents because these types of technology have been helping out. So there's other stuff that's coming related to that. Of course, there's automated parking and things like that to make it more convenient for people to park. But these are some of the things that we'll be looking at that will be coming in the near future.
Okay, so my old school lead foot driving style, there's not going to be any high tech to tell me where all the police speed traps are or anything like that, right?
Oh, there probably will as well. I'm sure one of the issues going forward, you know, if there's a need, someone will provide it.
Yeah, there will be an app for that. I'm hoping. I'm crossing my fingers for that anyway.
So Doug, yeah. That brings up, funny at the end there, but that brings up a couple of questions about how the vehicle is kind of taking over. We hear all the time, you've been in news a long time about stories of recalls on cars and issues with cars where the airbags don't work correctly or, you know, there's a leak in the potential corrosion on the brake line or something which caused the brakes to fail. I mean, all kinds of different recalls on cars and things. Do you think, in your opinion, that this potentially could have some impact on, it's like, yeah, there's a recall because the lane driving sensor isn't working correctly and it can accidentally cause your vehicle to veer into another lane without you having control of the vehicle or anything like that?
Absolutely. Because look, anytime you add high tech to anything, you increase the levels of complexity. You add another layer over it. Anytime you have a device that you've got to use every day to do anything, the less complicated it is, generally, the more reliable it will be. Yeah. So when things get very complicated, you also open that up. One of the things as a car guy that I like about technology in a car, I don't want to always just be speed racer on the road, but I want a car that behaves predictably. I want one that handles very well. I want one that stops in a very short distance. I want one that if you have to change direction when you're going at high speed to swerve to avoid something, for example, that you don't go out of control when you do that unexpectedly, suddenly at a very high speed. All of those things are important. I loved what he said earlier in the interview about the technology, about the lane changing. I would love that. I hate it when people don't signal. I always signal my intention, right? Well, one of the things he said is going to be available, or maybe already be available, is if you don't use your turn signal and you drift into the other lane, the car will put you right back to where you started.
So that brings up, I'm a news guy, so I've got lots of questions. So I'm driving down, let me give you an example. I'm driving down Napier here. There's no sidewalk.
Yeah.
And there's somebody on a bike or somebody walking along the edge of the road, and I go to move over just a little bit to go around that person walking, and I don't turn on my signal. Is it going to take control of the car and put it back into the lane and cause me to potentially hit that pedestrian or bike? I mean, those are all questions that I have.
And those are very important practical questions. And the engineers that are working on this stuff, believe me, they're working through all of that. Because in the real world out there, you have a lot of unpredictable things. You have human beings' lives at stake, right?
Exactly.
So I think the best thing about a car, this technology, are the safety features. But this is something that jumped out to me that I was actually surprised by. Nearly 60% of millennials and 40% of older adults say that they would change car brands if another car manufacturer offered the technology they wanted.
I'm all for technology. Don't get me wrong. I love, like you said, the safety features, Doug. I think that's really important. But I mean, there could be a tree branch or a pothole or something that I'm, moving over just a little bit.
Well, there will always be a defeat device, okay? There will always be a defeat device to be able to take control of the car quickly.
Sure.
And that's the thing. You cannot beat a skilled driver focused on the road with a car that's highly adept at handling road handling and everything else. That's what it's going to take. But another thing that jumped out at me, Ray, an average buyer says they would pay over $2,200 more to have the auto technology features they want in their car.
Right.
And again, I'm saying, look, I don't want to turn my car into a smartphone with all the technology available. I don't even think video screens in a car to watch movies and things are a good idea. What I want the technology to do is make that car handle superbly well.
Right.
It has to stop well. It has to steer well. It has to be able to avoid obstacles in an emergency without going out of control. All of those things, those are the most important to me. I never, ever will trust, I don't care how good the technology gets, personally, I will never trust automated technology to take me someplace. Because for one thing, for me, it takes all the soul and the fun out of driving. For the other thing, I trust myself and my intense concentration at the wheel and my experience at driving, more than I would trust technology. But that's just me personally. I love the safety features. And I think actually that's going to be the point at which people realize and recognize the most how far we've come with technology. All that safety stuff and parking. Yeah. That's a very convenient thing to be able to park, parallel park, and have the car do it on its own.
And some people have a difficult time with that. My wife does. I mean, she won't parallel park. She'll drive around the block, look for another stall before she'll want to parallel park because she doesn't feel comfortable doing it.
And the reason I decided to do this is not this interview with Bruce Belzowski about this coming up conference in Ann Arbor on September 11th on automotive IT is because the auto industry is so important to us. Technology is also so important to us, and they are converging in a big way and dramatic way, and there are big changes rippling through the auto industry. And Michigan is struggling and in some cases succeeding at research, trying to get ahead of that curve so that there will be an automotive future in terms of industry here in America.
Yeah, so I can just see, you know, driving down the road with all this automotive technology, people having to pull over to reboot their car.
and if you happened to miss this on the air, didn't hear it all, there will be a podcast, right,
of this interview? Yeah, this will be put up as a podcast on WSJM.com if you'd like to hear the interview with Bruce. That'll be coming up momentarily. All right, thanks, Doug.